Welcome to tonight's webinar. It's all about getting your letters to the editor past that final goalpost and getting published. My name is Brett Cease. I'm here as CCL's volunteer education and engagement director and helping run the CCU programming. We're lucky enough tonight to have our very own Steve Volk. I'll start kind of by doing a brief introduction about Steve. Steve comes by way of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's been with CCL since 2009 after a 30-year career there. And Steve's in charge of all of our media materials, or I guess now is sharing that with his deputy director, Flannery, but up until about a couple of months ago was the sole contributor to media material and distribution through all CCL volunteers and also directs our social media. His letters and opinion pieces have been published in newspapers throughout the U.S., and we're lucky to have him here tonight to help us understand the secret art and science of writing letters to the editor. So I'll pass it over to you, Steve.
Okay, great. So tonight we're going to talk first of all, you know, a little bit about why we want to write letters to the editor and how that's going to help your group. We're also going to talk about understanding the most effective ways to get LTEs published, to demonstrate successful practices in messaging and drafting your letter, and then we'll also talk a little bit about organizing a team of letter writers in your group, because if you have more than one person in your group writing, it dramatically improves the chances that that your group is going to get letters to the editor published. So tonight, as we go through, we're going to go over the importance of letters to the editor. We could talk a little bit about the news hierarchy. In other words, these are things that you can respond to in different parts of the newspaper. And depending on what you respond to, it improves the chances that your letter to the editor is actually going to get published, and so we'll show you that news hierarchy, and then after that we'll kind of go through the letter to the editor formula. There is kind of a formula to writing letters, and we'll go over that. Talk a little bit about some tips and protocols, you know, what to do and what not to do, and then this is something I just added. Key messages. Whenever we write letters to the editor, there are, you know, things that the public does not know that we want them to know. And so whenever we get a letter to the editor published, it's an opportunity to get one of those messages across. So we'll talk about some of the key messages we want to get across. And then we'll also talk about what you'll do after you get your letter to the editor published. And then last but certainly not least, we'll look at a couple of examples of letter to the editor opportunities and how a CCL volunteer responded to those opportunities and got a letter to the editor published. So that's our little agenda for this evening. So so Brett, let's just put all that stuff up there on the page. Because the stuff on the left relates to the stuff on the right. So in terms of why it's important to get letters to the editor published, well, you know, the factor here is that, you know, the newspaper prints what they feel is newsworthy, you know, and so why is that important? Well, it signals to your member of Congress that the newspaper feels that your topic, what you're writing about, is newsworthy. So when you get in the newspaper, you know, there are professionals who've deemed, wow, this is important. So, you know, you've actually gotten sort of the good housekeeping seal of approval for relevance and importance for the topic that you're bringing up. Secondly, you know, the volume of letters signals the community's interest. And so by submitting a letter, even if it's not your best effort, you know, that kind of tells the newspaper that this is an important topic in the community. And then, you know, a third, you know, factor here is, you know, what's happening at home. And so members of Congress use letters to the editor often to kind of put their finger on the pulse of what is happening in the district. And then lastly, you know, another factor is that your letters to the editor provides visibility for Citizens Climate Lobby in your community, whether you're mentioning Citizens Climate Lobby in your letter, or, you know, maybe you have it in your signature that you're affiliated with Citizens Climate Lobby. But it gives, you know, it raises the visibility of your chapter in your community, and you might actually end up recruiting some new volunteers as a result of that. So the first thing we want to talk about is looking for letter to the editor opportunities. So a newspaper will print letters that respond to what's in the newspaper. So the very first thing that you have to do to get a letter to the editor published is not the actual writing of the letter. The very first thing you have to do to get a letter published is to read the newspaper every day and to look for what we call letter to the editor opportunities. They could be articles that relate to climate change, or they could be articles that don't directly relate to climate change, but you can kind of connect some dots to climate change. But you know as you go through your newspaper, you'll see, and I guarantee you, every week you will find at least a couple of opportunities in your newspaper to respond with letters to the editor. But to find these opportunities, you have to read the newspaper every day. And what I suggest is that you have at least one person in your group who subscribes to the newspaper. Now, these days, you know, a newspaper subscription can be a little expensive, probably costing anywhere between $100 and $150 a year. So if that's expensive, if that seems a little too expensive for anybody, I mean, it used to be everybody, you know, half the people in the world subscribe to a newspaper, but that's not the case anymore. But an alternative to getting a home delivery subscription is that the newspaper will offer an online subscription, and included with the online subscription is you'll be able to have access to an electronic facsimile of what is actually in the newspaper, the printed newspaper. And that's very important, because when the letters editors are selecting letters, they're looking for letters that are responding to what was in the print edition of the newspaper. There's a lot of stuff that ends up online that's not in the print edition. So in order to know what is in the print edition, you actually need to subscribe and either see the print edition or see that electronic facsimile of the print edition. So, and as I say, the e-edition, as it were, as it's called, is a lot cheaper than the home delivery. So I would suggest, again, you know, that you have at least one person who subscribes, monitors the newspaper every day for letter to the editor opportunities that they can then pass along to the rest of the group. Okay, so next. So I mentioned that we were going to kind of look at the news hierarchy, and these are things that you can respond to in the newspaper for letters to the editor. And so I've kind of developed this hierarchy, and the reason I came up with this is because, you know, depending on what you respond to, it really improves your chances of your letter getting published. And so right at the very top of that hierarchy would be the editorials in the opinion section. So, and the reason for that is the editorials are the official position of the newspaper. And so and the letters to the editor often appear on the same page with the editorials. So when they get a letter to the editor that's responding to the official view of the newspaper, those letters tend to get priority in terms of selection. So editorials are definitely at the top of the list there in terms of things that you can respond to. So as you're looking and checking the newspaper, you know, go to that editorial section right away and see if they've written anything that in some way you can relate to the climate issue. Right, you know, close second behind that is front page stories. If a newspaper has determined that a story is important enough to be on their front page, they will probably also determine that a letter responding to those stories is important enough to be in the newspaper. So that's those are the two most important places that you want to look for letter to the editor opportunities, is the editorials and front page stories. After that, then it would be you know, take a look at staff written columns. Now these are columns that are written as you might, you know, get is you know, by the newspaper's staff, not the syndicated columnists, you know, like George Will or David Brooks or those kinds of people that are syndicated in hundreds of newspapers across the country. These are the newspaper's staff columnists, and the reason it's that you'd want to respond to them is because they represent the newspaper's brand. So a columnist for a newspaper is really kind of wrapped up in the newspaper's identity, and so when they get a letter to the editor that responds to a staff columnist, it's almost like they're running a little promo for their newspaper within the newspaper. So it's so definitely take a look at the staff written columns, and then after that, you've got locally written op-eds by people in the community that you can respond to. Editorial cartoons, they're always good. You always see people responding to editorial cartoons. You see lots of letters to the editor, you know, commenting on the cartoons, and boy, you'd be surprised how often editorial cartoonists do something on the climate change issue. After that, then we're talking about syndicated columnists, as I mentioned, you know, the George Wills, the David Brooks, the Paul Krugmans, you know, people like that. And then, you can also respond to other letters to the editor. I've seen letters appear in newspapers that are responding to letters. So if you have somebody, you know, who writes a letter and they say, "Hey, climate change isn't happening," you know, the Earth's been cooling for the last, you know, all, you know, the nonsense that you always hear out there, you know, that can also present an opportunity for a for letter to the editor too. So that's the news hierarchy of things that you can respond to. As I said, the higher up the arc, the hierarchy, the better your chances of getting your letter published. So now let's talk about the letter to the editor formula. So first of all, the thing that you want to do is to observe the word limit that newspapers have. So that word limit is going to be anywhere from 150 words to 300 words. 150 words is pretty short. And that's actually the limit for the Atlanta Journal Constitution where I am. And so 150 words, that's almost, I would call that almost like the haiku of advocacy, because, you know, it's, you really have to be concise and on point with 150 words. So usually that, you know, with 150 words, you're probably going to get about like three short paragraphs. So what you want to do is in the opening of your letter, the very opening of your letter, is to reference the story or the opinion piece that you're responding to. This will help out the letter's editor, because they get, you know, anywhere, if it's a, you know, depending if it's a small newspaper or a big newspaper, they can get anywhere from 10 to 100 letters a day. And so if they have to rack their brains out to figure out what your letter is responding to, they might just say, oh, screw it, and go to the next letter. So you definitely, at the very beginning of your letter, you want to reference the story that you're responding to. I would even go so far as to say that when you submit your letter by email, in the subject line of your email, I always put RE colon, as, you know, short for regarding, RE colon, and I put the headline of the article or the opinion piece that I'm responding to. I put that right in the subject line of the email that I'm sending in, so that the letter's editor, you know, can match up your letter pretty quickly with the story that was in the newspaper. So then, after you've referenced the story, you'll want to transition into how it relates to climate change. You know, so sometimes the connection will be very obvious. If there's a report comes out, you know, that says the temperatures have been going up and that kind of thing. Sometimes you have to sort of connect the dots a little bit, you know, like if there's an extreme weather event, you know, where, you know, 10 inches of rain fell in 24 hours and produced all this massive flooding or something like that. You know, so you want to transition, you want to kind of connect the dots, any dots that need to be connected to the climate issue. So once you've, you know, made the connection to climate change and you've identified the problem. Okay. So whenever you identify a problem, you want to also identify a solution. And so that's an opportunity then to bring up, carbon fee and dividend. Sometimes, you might want to, you know, if you've already, if you have a number of people writing, you know, you might not want to use that same phrase in a letter. You could say a fee on carbon with revenue returned to households or something like that. But you definitely want to identify a solution, and then some kind of call to action is always good. You know, like, you know, asking people to contact their representative or their senators to support action on climate change. You know, so it's always good to have some kind of a call to action. And then you want to close out your letter. And this is an opportunity where you might be a little bit creative. You could use some rhetorical devices, a little, you know, clever, turn of phrase or something like that, you know, a little something, you know, that they'll kind of, you know, put a little smile on the reader's face a little bit or something like that. A device that I often use to close out a letter is called a closing the circle, where at the end of your letter, you kind of come back to what it was that you were talking about at the beginning of the letter. So it ends up sort of, tying everything together very neatly. So that's a good technique to use with letters to the editor, is this what I call the closing the circle method. So that's the letter to the editor formula. And next we have a few tips and protocol that we want to look at. And so let's go to the next slide here. So a few things you want to be mindful of. You want to be careful to word a letter to the editor in a way that avoids turning off some people by raising hot button issues. So there are, just like, the abortion issue is going to, whatever you say about abortion is going to piss off half of the country, and so there's things that will end up turning off a big segment of the readership, like if you bring up nuclear power or pipelines or stuff like that, try to not go off on a little bit of a tangent with these hot button issues that are going to alienate some of the readers. Don't lecture or just kind of regurgitate a laser talk. You want to be kind of conversational in the way that you're writing. You definitely want to use the information that we have in the laser talks, but do it in a way that as I say is kind of more like you're talking to someone. If you mention your member of Congress by name, that is really effective, because the staff that works for your congressman, there, I guarantee somebody on that staff, it's their job to Google their boss's name every day and do a Google News search on Congressman Smith or whatever to see where his or her name is popping up in the news. And so if their name is mentioned in your letter to the editor, he'll end up seeing that letter before your liaison sends it to the office. I guarantee it. If you're mentioning someone by name, I don't think this needs to be mentioned, but espouse the CCL values of respect and appreciation. Don't call somebody out as a denier or someone who wants to destroy the planet or anything like that. I think everybody knows not to do that, and to just always be respectful. And if you're talking about, dire predictions on climate change, you want to be very judicious with that. And you always want to include a solution. Don't tell people, hey, the world is going to end, without telling them, how we can avoid apocalypse. So you definitely want to do that. So those are a few of the tips and protocol. So let's talk a little bit about forming a team. And the reason that you want to form a letter writing team is that newspapers often select letters based on the volume of responses that they receive on a particular issue. So if a newspaper on, over the course of, 24, 48 hours gets 5 letters to the editor about climate change, it's much more likely that they will select one of those letters than if you only have one letter submitted. So submitting several letters will dramatically improve the chances of at least one of your members, possibly even a couple, getting published in the newspaper. In the Atlanta paper. They only run like two letters a day. So the odds of you getting more than one letter a day in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution are pretty remote. So what I would recommend is that, you know, if you don't already have a letter to the editor team, at one of your meetings, you know, just ask people, you know, who would like to be on a team that submits letters to the editor. And so you can get a list of folks together. And then once you know who has committed to writing letters, you can assign one member of the team to read the newspaper every day and find those letter to the editor opportunities that I was talking about. And then that person passes those opportunities on to the rest of the team. And what's great about the team is that everybody gets credit. You know, if you're a basketball team, it's not just the guy who takes the ball to the hoop that gets credit for what happens in the game. It's the guy who passes the ball to them at the right moment. You know, they get an assist or something like that. So it's the same with a letter to the editor team. You know, even if your letter doesn't get published, the fact that you sent a letter in and which improved the chances that one of the letters would get published, you get an assist for that. You know, so that's why it's important to have a team. I guarantee you'll get more letters to the editor published if you have a team of letter writers working on that. So let's talk a little bit about key messages. You know, as I said, this is something new that I've decided to add to my presentation. So what I mean by key messages is that, you know, what are the big things that the public needs to know that they don't already know? And so we're, as climate advocates, we know a lot of stuff, and we generally make assumptions that most of the public knows these things, but there's a lot that the public doesn't know. And so whenever we get a letter to the editor published, it's an opportunity to get one of these messages across. So I want to kind of go over, what some of those, some of these messages are. And of course, this presentation will be on CCL Community. So you can kind of go back and look at these, but here are some of the things that, you could take your pick out of all of these, but whenever we get a letter published, we definitely want to get, one of these messages across. You know, and first and foremost is, you know, that there's a solution to climate change that's also good for the economy. It's called the carbon fee and dividend, and there's a REMI study that backs up this policy and shows that after 20 years we'll get 50% reduction on CO2 emissions and add 2.8 million jobs to the economy. And this is just really critical information. This is information that if everybody knew this, it would be a slam dunk for us to get our legislation passed. So that's a very key message to get across, whenever we have the opportunity. Also, another key message is that, the conventional wisdom out there is that, we have to make this choice between the environment or the economy. If we do what's good for the environment, it'll be bad for the economy and vice versa and everything. And we know that's a false narrative, that we can take steps that will benefit both the environment and the economy. So that's another key message that we want to get across to people. This third one, this is like, wow, if everybody knew this, all our problems would be solved. And that is that, the vast majority of the public does not know about the scientific consensus on climate change, that 97% of climate scientists agree that climate change is man-made. We just can't repeat that enough. And if you were, if you've seen Tony Leiserwitz from the Yale Project on climate change communication, if you saw his presentation and you saw the numbers, it's like only 13% of Americans know about this consensus. The vast majority of Americans think that it's there's still this huge debate going on among scientists as to whether or not climate change is really happening. So that's another key message that we really, really need to hammer home. Another good message to get across is that everybody just assumes, oh my God, Congress is so screwed up, they'll never be able to do anything about climate change. And so it's really important to give people hope that, there are some good things going on in Congress, and there is reason to hope that they can come up with a solution, because now we actually have Republicans and Democrats talking to each other about climate change with the bipartisan Climate Solutions Caucus. So that's another good message to be getting out there. Another good message is that a revenue neutral carbon fee is actually a conservative solution, because it uses the power of the marketplace to solve the climate problem, rather than government regulation. So I think it's important to let people know that this isn't a left thing or a right thing, but in some respects it actually is a conservative solution. And there is a group of conservatives and corporations working together under the Climate Leadership Council that has proposed a solution that is similar to Citizen Climate Lobby's solution, and this is a group that actually enjoys support for this price on carbon from a number of major oil companies. So again, whenever you get a letter to the editor published, it's an opportunity to get these messages out there that the public desperately needs to be aware of. So do consider those messages whenever you're getting a letter to the editor published, and figure out, okay, which is the message that's appropriate for my particular letter this time. So you get your letter to the editor published. What do you want to do? First thing you want to do is to send your letter to the editor with a link to it. To your district's congressional liaison, so whoever the person is in your group that communicates with your congressman's office, your senator's office, whatever, you want to make sure that they know that there was a letter to the editor published, and share the link to it in the newspaper with the liaison, and then let the liaison then communicate to the aide that they communicate with in Washington. It's a great opportunity for the liaison to communicate and develop the relationship. They just send a little quick email. Oh, hey, one of our members had a letter to the editor published today in the journal. Here's a link to it. So this is the way that we guarantee that the member of Congress, or at least their staff, is seeing these letters to the editor. You also want to submit a CCL field report. We like to count these letters. We need to get a good count on how many letters we're generating each month, and then throughout the year and so forth. So do make sure that somebody in your group is designated, whoever is designated to file field reports, make sure they know that that your group got a letter to the editor published so that they can file a field report. And be sure to tell your chapter and your chapter leader. So whenever you meet each month, one of the things that you can celebrate as a success that your group had a particular month is a letter to the editor getting published. So those are some of the things that you want to do, after a letter has been published. And you can also leverage your letter to the editor on social media. So if you have a Facebook page, you can post your letter to the editor. You basically just take the URL for the page that your letter is published on. You can pop that into your Facebook post, and it'll automatically create a little link to the newspaper and everything. And you can just say a little, thing to your friends. So, hey, I got a letter to the editor published. Check it out, and share with your friends if you can. So definitely share it on Facebook. And if you're on Twitter, you can also share your letter to the editor that way. And what's nice about Twitter is that this is another way that you can get your letter in front of your member of Congress. So, every member of Congress these days has a Twitter handle. You can look it up. And so, it's either, at Rep Smith or something like that, but you want to include the Twitter handles for your members of Congress, so that whoever is on staff for your congressman will probably be monitoring their Twitter feed, and whenever their boss gets mentioned. And so if they get about 10 tweets or so on your letter, that might be enough for the staffer to say, oh, hey, this is something maybe I need to show the boss. So, and then, ask the members of your group who are on Twitter to retweet your post about your letter to the editor. So in that way, not only are the people who read the newspaper seeing your letter, but you're actually getting it out there on social media as well. So let's take a look at a couple of examples of letter to the editor opportunities and what a volunteer did to respond to that article and the letter that was published. So this was a story that ran a few weeks ago in a lot of newspapers around the country. Debate heats up about teaching climate change. So the story is basically about the fact that there are some states now that are requiring that teachers teach alternative theories to climate change. And so there's a big, so we know that there's a 97% consensus among climate scientists, but then you have these states that are requiring teachers to also tell their students about the outliers. So that was the story that appeared a couple of weeks ago. And then on July 5th, not the first letter here, but the second letter here that ran in the Journal Constitution from one of our volunteers, his name is Bob James. And so it's got a little headline on it. It says, good climate change leadership faces facts. And so what he did was he said the article, and again, he starts the letter right off by referencing the story that was in the news, the article, and then in parentheses, so the newspaper usually kind of has their own little, protocol for how they reference an article in a letter to the editor. So the article, Debate Heats Up on Teaching Climate Change, describes how some states urge or require that science teachers share climate theories that dispute the idea that human-caused global warming is happening. It also reports that many science teachers are reacting to the Trump administration's backpedaling on climate issues by confirming students' understanding that confirming students understand peer review has resulted in overwhelming evidence that climate change is caused by humans is verifiable. So that's the first half of his letter was devoted to going over, you know, what was in the article. And then from there, he pivots a little bit. And he says, well, my sister-in-law, an experienced outdoor educator, said there is a danger when teaching elementary school kids the facts with scary consequences. They easily overreact. Like her, I agree it is best to include how responsible adults are taking steps to reduce climate change threats. The bipartisan House Climate Solutions Caucus is doing just that. I appreciate their moral leadership that does not ignore the facts. Ask your House representative to join it. So, number of great things that Bob did in this letter. As I said, first of all, he referenced the story and he talked about it a little bit. But then he also got in, one of our key messages, and that is, you know, that there's hope in Congress because we have this climate, this bipartisan climate solutions caucus. And then he issued a call to action. He said he asked people to ask their representatives to join the caucus. So that was a great letter to the editor. So let's look at one other letter here. So, you know, here's a story that was in the Baltimore Sun. Baltimore City Council votes to support Paris Climate Agreement. So this was a story that was typical of a lot of stories that came out right after President Trump exited the Paris Climate Agreement. So in the story here, it says, you know, calling President Donald J. Trump's recent decision to withdraw the United States from the Paris Climate Agreement ill-advised, the Baltimore City Council unanimously voted Monday to express its intention of upholding the agreement here. The approved resolution, which does not carry the force of law, says the all-Democratic Council is committed to practices that disrupt short-sighted trends in consumption of natural resources and degradation of human health to create a livable, economical, equitable, and just energy future. Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh, a Democrat, this month joined more than 1,000 elected officials, businesses, and colleges in signing an agreement to honor the Paris deal. So this was a story that was in the Baltimore Sun. And then a week or so later, this was the, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce Layla's last name, but we have a volunteer in Baltimore who responded to the story. And I'm going to read the whole letter here for you. So the headline, you know, fighting climate change can be a bipartisan affair. Baltimore and Pittsburgh may be rivals on the football field, but we can be thankful our cities see eye to eye on climate change. You know, and then they have in parentheses the article that the letter is responding to. Both cities have expressed their continued support of the Paris Accord, with Baltimore City Council passing a resolution to that effect on June 19th. More good news came the next day when the Climate Leadership Council announced its founding members. The group contains a surprising mix: conservation organizations, the Nature Conservancy, and Conservation International, and oil companies, ExxonMobil, BP, and Shell, respected scientists, Stephen Hawking and Stephen Chu, and Republican elder statesmen, James Baker and George Shultz. An equally remarkable collaboration is emerging in the U.S. House of Representatives, where 21 Republicans and 21 Democrats have joined the bipartisan Climate Solutions Caucus. The rapid growth of the caucus following the presidential election indicates a welcome shift in political attitudes about climate. Clearly, even old foes can agree that climate change needs to be addressed now. We can still feed our rivalries, though. The Pittsburgh City Council has passed a resolution encouraging Congress to consider a carbon fee and dividend policy, which would put a price on carbon and return the proceeds to households. The Baltimore City Council should take that ball and run with it. So, oh my God, you know, here's a letter. I mean, this is like a 200-word letter that packs in so, so much that we want readers to know. We want people to know about the Climate Leadership Council. We want them to know about the you know, the Climate Solutions Caucus. And we want to encourage cities to endorse carbon fee and dividend. And this letter here does it all. So that's another great example of a letter to the editor opportunity and a volunteer who kind of use that formula to craft a great letter that packs in a lot of information and gets a lot of key messages across. So the last thing I want to mention is that on CCL Community, we have a print media action team. And so what that print media action team does is we post a letter to the editor and op-ed of the week, and so we're highlighting examples of letters and op-eds that have been published, so that the people who are in this action group can look at those examples and draw inspiration from them. We also publish at least once a week, we publish letter to the editor opportunities, you know, stories that are in the news that we can respond to. And I usually find something this week we posted the iceberg that broke off from Antarctica that was a huge letter to the editor opportunity, because it's likely that story appeared in just about every newspaper around the country. And then lastly, we also have a monthly support call, which I lead, and we go over, we take a kind of a little bit of a deeper dive into, various aspects of generating print media, developing relationships with editorial boards and things like that. So
on behalf of everyone here, thank you for your time. Thank you for all of your hard work. And we look forward to seeing a surge of letters to the editor here in the next week, don't we, Steve?
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. Well, have a great night, everyone.